So has it actually sunk in what you've just achieved?
No, I feel a little bit more relaxed, but I'm even yesterday I was still like on it. But I think this is normal, you know. If you're up there, I mean, you're 28 hours, like totally under tension, and I was so focused on that, and this needs just time to realize what happened, and also to relax. I mean, just be that focused for 28 hours. This takes a lot out of your body, and I'm pretty sure my whole body will collapse like in the next couple of weeks or in the next couple of days, because just tired, you know.
But how are you feeling now at this very moment, sort of physically?
Physically, I feel just tired and empty, but for now I don't really have this, like, I don't know, like great joy, and I'm not yet like really euphoric, you know. It's still like kind of like
But when you set out to do the Annapurna South Face, you know, even back in Switzerland, were you aware of the fact that if you really managed to do it or solo it, as you ended up doing it, that this was like, you know, people are saying, you know, you've written Himalayan history. Were you aware that this was such a big thing?
For me, this isn't like, no, not really important. For me, it was a personal thing. No, I tried 2 times, and it was always a dream, like climbing a route, like a new route, a direct line, technical to an 8,000 meter peak. That's like, yeah, that's my highest dream I ever had in my life. And that, 2 times, no success. Then this spring, this story on Everest, this really broke my heart a little bit, and I had a hard time. But on the other hand, I was like so hungry to climb something, so I was really, really focused to finish that, and all the rest I don't even think about, you know. And this is also not important, you know, if it's history or whatever. It's more like it's your personal challenge, which is very important.
Has this personal challenge become stronger again after what you've just mentioned, what happened in spring this year, that you want to achieve something in the Himalaya rather than, I don't know, be in the media for negative stories?
Yeah, I mean, this Everest story, for me, this is just sucks, you know. This, I don't want to be in the media like that. This was a bad story. But on the other hand, I knew I just have to go back climbing to heal that for myself personally. So it was a really, 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 really good chance, and this time I was lucky.
And yeah, you left, you know, Nepal with a bitter taste in your mouth. And have you now restored faith in the Himalaya, or has your relationship to the Himalaya changed again?
I mean, I never had. My feeling for Himalaya was same like before. It was more maybe the feeling with the country and what's going on with the people, and this is still not fixed for myself, you know. It's just made a big step because I had a really good time with all the Nepali people. They helped me out in base camp. This was a step forwards in the right direction, but this is, I mean, what happens in spring, this I will never forget that. So this will stay in my mind forever.
But let's go back to your actual climb. I mean, you initially planned to climb together with Don Bowie. You ended up soloing the face. How did you feel when Don decided not to join you on the summit attempt?
You know, it was not just like one moment and he decided not to come. So when we came back from the face, where we slept 2 nights at 6-1, and I had a little bit of a view up to 6-5 and coming down, when we were back in base camp, he mentioned already, oh, this is maybe a little bit too hard for me, and what about the rockfall? And so I was also kind of prepared for that, and it was not just like he decided in half an hour. So we got up, went to ABC, waited a day, and he had kind of concern, and I said, listen, we just go and see what's going on. And he said, yeah, but it's, yeah, I knew it, that's might gonna happen. And then on the Bergschrund, I told him, now we have to discuss what you want and what you don't want. And then he decided not to go, and then I left.
And how, I mean, you had been on the face how high before you actually attempted for the summit? Six, five.
I was, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure you studied the wall at base camp and you looked at the route. But, of course, you know, that is, you know, terrain you didn't know. I mean, how did you feel? You were just, I mean, you know, climbing into the unknown.
This is normal. If you do a first ascent, you don't know what's going to happen. It's pretty, pretty simple, the whole thing. But, you know, it's kind of like a moving on progress, you know. You just climb and you just don't think too much what's going to be on summit. It's more like, no, it's still working well, you progress, you can climb, it's safe. And then it keeps rolling, you know, and that's the whole progress. I never think, if you look on the whole thing from beginning, you would never climb because this is too much. You cannot handle that. It's just, you're taking step by step. And as long I climb and I know I can even descend, you know. I can descend on 6.5, I can descend on 7.5, I can descend every time. I just can go back if I feel it's not good. And this you need in your mind. But, of course, it's easy to say. But you have to mention that I have a lot of experience climbing hard routes without the rope and without this knowledge, I think, yeah, you would not have the mind for that.
Yeah. But I mean, it is a 2.5 kilometer high wall, and I mean, one wrong step would mean death. Were you ever scared?
No, never. If I would be scared, I would go down, because that's like the key point. Mm-hmm. As long as you feel comfortable, and I feel comfortable in this kind of terrain, you know, it's not that technical for me. Mm. For me, it's just easy climbing. No, it's maybe a little bit understatement, but I feel comfortable, you know. There is not a single moment where I think, oh, maybe it's just I fall off, but I try, you know. It's like, it's constantly climbing and it's controlled and yeah, you're used to the situation, but you also know what you said, like a wrong step and you fall down and you're dead. We don't have to discuss about an insurance. So this is a lot of pressure in your head, but if you can use this pressure, you get really, really strong.
And you were on the same route as you were when you were hit by a rock in 2007?
Yes. Was it?
So, when were you aware when you were at the same spot where the rock hit you? When you thought, oh, was this in your mind at all? Or just completely gone?
This is gone. If I would be aware, I would never come back. Mm-hmm. And it took me. I mean, now we have 2013. I was 2008 the last time here. And it took me a couple of years just to get over that. And if that's still in your mind, you don't even have to try, you know. So this was not an issue at all.
And I mean, you did it up and down in 28 hours. Just tell me, what were the conditions like on the mountain?
When I started climbing, I mean, that was a hard moment, you know, like to make the decision to leave and go for it. That's really hard. That's where the most people fail, you know. Just say, now I go. And I started, and it took me a moment just to switch on solo climbing. But I realized the conditions are like just perfect. I mean, that's like, maybe you have that 2 days in a century, conditions like that. I was really, really lucky. So this helped me immediately to switch climbing. And it was just this perfect neve, like the day before it melted, now it was a little bit colder, so the snow was just perfect hard. So your crampons really easy go in, your ice axe you just have on top of the shaft to put in, which makes everything pretty easy. So you move on pretty safe and fast. And this was, I think, the key point and the luck I had, that the weather held and I had these kind of conditions.
I mean, you do make it sound incredibly easy. I mean, you know, what you have just achieved has been hailed by people like Chris Bonington, you know, one of the greatest achievements in modern Himalayan history. So, I mean, what makes you so strong? I mean, it's your physical strength, but also what have you got? What do you just have the guts other people don't have? Or
no, I don't think I'm stronger than other people, but I think I'm just, if I had an idea, a project, I can really focus on that, and I can really shut down emotions up there. I just can like be very, I don't know how you say that in English, but I just can be really focused on climbing, and I know exactly what I can climb, and I know exactly what I can climb safe. Of course, there is always a risk you cannot calculate. I mean, we know that as soon as we go to the mountains, there is a risk that you can die, but this risk is really small, I think, in this case, and all the rest just give me this confidence that like I can climb that. I'm not going to fall off here. And then I can go for it.
So you become a sort of a machine, even though I think you don't like the word Swiss machine, but maybe you do become, you know.
Yeah, I think this is my strength, that I can really switch. And I can really like, okay, is there rock fall? No rock fall. Is there avalanche danger? No avalanche danger. How hard is the climb? I can really like, I put that in a kind of a sheet and make my management, and I feel when I do this, all these thoughts, it's mostly, I don't feel it's I climb it, I feel more like I judge somebody, oh, you can do that. Okay. I judge like Uli Steck climbing there, and it's easier from behind to tell what you have to do than yourself. So I judge, okay, you can climb that, that's no problem, the avalanche engine is not there, you should go, and then I go. But I just tell like you, it's kind of funny.
But I mean, you say it's step by step, so when you start, you don't think about the summit.
No.
When do you start thinking about the summit? When you're up there?
No.
When you're like 20 meters below? Or when do you...
No, for me, like, thinking like you can climb it or you're on the summit, this is like, I realized it when it got like, I got up the ridge and it was like quite a dark, and then it went down and it's like, oh, maybe that must be the summit, and you check and it's like, oh yeah, now it goes down in this notch, that must be the summit. You check the altimeter and yeah, that's really summit. Mm-hmm. And but this is just like, okay, I'm up there, it's cold, it's night, it's, I have to go down, because now I still have like the whole face to go down.
What time did you summit? You summited the night at
like 1 a.m. Okay. I don't know if it was 12:45 or 1 a.m. like this kind. And I started immediately down climb. I spent maybe 2-3 minutes up there, and then I went back down, because the goal is being back in ABC. And I cannot relax, you know, I'm still in that, I'm just focused on climbing and never thinking on you can't think like what is if I reach summit, or what is if I reach like camp 2 on the down climb and then further down. It's just that moment.
Did you have that summit feeling back at camp then?
No, because then you're back in camp and it's like, it's, you know, it's done, and it's kind of like, oh, now I can sit down once and I'm not exposed anymore. But then it's unreal somehow, you know, because you were like 28 hours just focus on what you're doing, you just climb, and that's all you focus. This is like when you, I don't know, when you're writing or really hard writing or working, it's just there, and then you need a time just to get off that.
And I mean, have you had? I mean, you summited on the 9th of October. It's the 14th today, so only 5 days ago. Have you had any time to reflect? Because, I mean, I'm sure you know the media's gone mad. You've probably had phone calls. People like me. I mean, have you had any time to reflect? Or
No, for now, I didn't reflect the whole thing at all. It's just like, I get down ABC, we descended to base camp. Next day, we just packed the whole base camp and we left, you know. So I was always on the road since then. And for now, I just need some more time. And I think the best thing is like just be home and just go a little bit climbing and then in a week or whatever, I will realize what happened.
Have you spoken to your wife? Of course you have, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's the first thing I did. Back in ABC, I called her.
She must have been relieved. And then on the summit, this SMS everybody quotes, you know, solo summit. Did you send it from the summit? Or?
No, I was on the way back because it was too cold on the summit. And, you know, what I said, like on summit, this is for me, this is not... This is halfway, so I just keep going, you know.
Yeah.
And also, I never wrote them a message during the ascent because, you know, you really have to be for yourself. Otherwise, you can't control this situation. You get distracted and you're not focused. And I just wanted to be for myself.